Hello, welcome to the second episode of Burning Questions, a podcast focused on reducing risk in your communities and answering some of your questions along the way. Each episode will focus on one safety topic that we get a lot of questions about. We'll do our best to answer some of those questions, and we'll try and clear up any misconceptions about those topics along the way. If you have questions you'd like for us to answer, leave a voicemail for us at 864-430-0510 or email us at bsfdpodcast@gmail.com, and we'll try and give you an answer in a later episode. On today's episode, we're going to be talking about smoke alarms. We'll cover why they're essential, how they work, and what you can do to stay safe in your home during a home fire. Here with me today is Lieutenant Chris Huff. He's our fire inspector at Boiling Springs Fire District, and we're going to answer some questions about what types of smoke alarms there are, where to place the smoke alarms. We'll talk about how to test those smoke alarms, how to do escape drills. We'll go over battery replacement, the lifespan, and then how you can talk to your local fire department to see if they offer any installation services. So first off, welcome, Chris. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me today.
Not a problem. So what can you tell us about smoke alarms? I know there's two different types. There's ionization and photoelectric. Can you break down those and tell me how they work?
Yeah. So photoelectric smoke alarms are generally more responsive to fires that actually begin where they have a long period of smoldering. We call those smoldering fires. How the photoelectric style works is it aims a light source into a sensing chamber at any angle away from the sensor. Then what happens is smoke enters that chamber, reflecting light onto the light sensor, and that triggers the alarm. With your ionization smoke alarms, they're generally more responsive to flaming fires. Usually how they work is it's a type of smoke alarm that has a small amount of radioactive material between two chemically charged plates, and those ionize the air and cause current to flow between the plates. When our smoke enters that chamber, it disrupts the flow of ions, and that reduces the flow of current and activating the alarm.
So I know that there's two different types, photoelectric and ionization. One is better for smoldering fires, the other is better for flaming fires. With modern building materials and building construction methods, which kind of smoke are we seeing more of today?
I would say today we're probably seeing more of the quick flaming fires with the type of construction and the materials that things are made out of. You usually have a lot less time to escape from homes the way the construction is nowadays. So I would recommend probably having the ionization style smoke alarm inside your home for the fast flaming fires.
Okay. And then what about, I know most smoke alarms that are put up today, they're mostly just audible. They do sell some with a strobe light and other items, but since most of them are just audible, what can our hard of hearing or deaf communities do?
So they have this really cool thing, Chris. They have it's called a deaf or a hard of hearing alarm, or what we like to call it is a bed shaker. Pretty much how these work, they listen for the sound of that audible alarm that's already in your house, and it has a little small disc that you can place up under the mattress or up under your pillow. So what happens is when your regular smoke alarm goes off, it picks up that audible signal and then turns around and creates a shaking device and kind of rattles the bed or the pillow where that disc is.
So they have a second audible device right next to their bed, and also it vibrates underneath the pillow to wake them up. So that's perfect. Next up, we're going to talk about some issues we've seen in the past with where to place the smoke alarms. I know that there are people out there who want to put them on the ceiling. There's people who want to put them on the wall. I know most manufacturers agree that it's supposed to go on the ceiling, or it's preferable to go on the ceiling, but it's acceptable to put it on the wall. Can you give us some guidance on that?
So if placing it on the ceiling, you want to make sure that you put the alarm no more than 4 inches off the wall. If you're going to place it on the wall, you don't want to put the alarm 4 inches from the ceiling, but also you want to make sure the alarm is within 12 inches of the ceiling. Of course, we know smoke rises, so the lower the alarm, the longer it's going to take for that alarm to activate.
All right, and just to clear something up for the listeners, that 4 inches, they did some studies, and they found out that 4 inches mark, if you go 4 inches from the wall on the ceiling, or 4 inches from the ceiling on the wall, that small area is known as a dead air area. And that means that the air does not move there. With that, anytime there's smoke, it would go up, it can kind of bank down along the wall, and it doesn't necessarily get all the way up into the corner of any room. So it can lead to a prolonged time where there's smoke in the room, but it doesn't reach that smoke alarm because the smoke alarm is placed in the dead air area.
Exactly.
Okay, so now that we know where we can place them, as far as on the ceiling or on the wall, where do we need to put them? Do they need to be on every floor, one floor? Do they need to be in basements? What recommendations can you give us as far as that goes?
As far as like where you're going to place them at, definitely manufacturers and we agree, there should be at least one smoke alarm installed on each level of the home. What that does, it makes it possible that if you have somebody on the upper level and there's a fire on the lower level, it sounds the alarm and lets everybody get notified. So definitely having them one on each level. You also want to make sure, like in your sleeping areas, every room should have one right inside. Usually when you walk in the room, if you look right above the door, there's that space between there and the ceiling. Perfect place to install them. Smoke rises. If it's in the hallway, you know, it goes in that room. It's able to get to it and notify you a little bit quicker.
So just to give a little more information about that, we want the smoke alarms on every level, and that mostly is because if you had any kind of fuel-fired appliance or equipment that's down in the basement, you wouldn't want to wait for a fire that starts in the basement to propagate smoke through the first floor and all the way to the second floor where the sleeping areas are before you become notified of the fire. So it's really important to make sure that you have an active smoke alarm that works and that you check the batteries on regularly on every floor of the home, just so that you can be notified of a fire as soon as possible.
Great information, Chris. Something else to add with that, one of the things that we've noticed and we've seen through some studies of residential fires and commercial fires and things like that, when you're sleeping, we have a slogan that's actually on the back of one of our trucks that says, close before you doze. You know, you may ask what that means, but doors are actually designed to keep heat and smoke out of them. They're really effective at keeping the heat and smoke in a room as well. So having smoke alarms inside and outside of each sleeping room ensures that people sleeping in the home are alerted to the fire as quickly as possible. But as well, if you sleep with your door closed, that helps prevent the heat and smoke and may give you a little bit longer chance to get out of the house.
Absolutely. And while we're talking about where to place these, we've talked about where they can go on the ceiling and the wall. We've talked about whether they need to be on every floor. We've talked about inside and outside every sleeping room or sleeping area. What about putting one in the kitchen? Because I know the kitchen is where most fires occur, and that is where we have heat sources like an oven and a stove. What advice can you give us as far as placing a smoke alarm in the kitchen itself?
Well, Chris, if you've been around my cooking, you definitely not place one in the kitchen. I would have false alarms every day just from my cooking. But nuisance alarms, they actually desensitize the occupants, and what it does is it If you have them in your kitchen and you're constantly going off, it's going to become second nature to you. And then when you hear that alarm, you're going to think it's a false alarm. So not putting them in there. So, you know, if a child were to hear a smoke alarm every time their parents cook dinner, which occasionally happens at my house, then at 3 a.m. when there actually is a fire and that smoke alarm goes off, the kid's probably going to think, oh, somebody's just cooking, because they don't, you know, they're not aware of time. And that could lead to complacency of family members ignoring the alarm and not evacuating.
And I know early evacuation is key, because they've shown home fires these days can go from just an incipient or a small, very, very small fire to a room that is fully involved or fire from wall to wall, floor to ceiling within about 3.5 minutes. So that means those few seconds right when somebody hears the alarm are crucial to if they can get out of the home in time. Would you agree?
100%. With the new building construction, everything's not made out of wood or cotton anymore. You know, a lot of plastics are used. So that causes that quick reaction. That's why you see fires growing a lot more rapidly these days.
So we've talked about where to place them. We've talked about where not to place them. How often should people test their alarms so they can make sure that those smoke alarms work like they're supposed to?
So when it comes to testing smoke alarms, we would like to recommend that you at least test them every month. Testing every month gives you that confidence that your alarms are actually going to work in case of a fire. It gives you a chance to teach your children, or, you know, if you've got guests or something over, you know, that, hey, if you hear this, it's time to get out. You can also, by testing every month, may let you know that if you have a battery that's dying, maybe the smoke alarm has gone bad, so they can be replaced quickly as possible.
And with those testing, we also recommend that we incorporate at least 2 escape drills every year. So that's one every 6 months or so. We recommend that, and it's not just so that you can hear that test. It's also so that you can train with your family, your loved ones, whoever's in the house with you. You can train with them and let them actually hear a smoke alarm go off. Let them actually practice where are they going to go if there's a fire. The reason we recommend this is fires can be really, really fast. Fires, contrary to what you would imagine, fires are extremely dark. And if you have something that's hot, dark, it can be scary, especially in the middle of the night. And this is especially for children. But even adults, if we don't train, then we put ourselves in those stressful situations. It's not going to be second nature for us to get out of the house. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, 100%. We call them Edith. It's exit drills in the home. Definitely need to be practiced. And if y'all's kids are like most of my kids, they like to draw. So get them involved in the process. And part of that exit drill and escape drill, making sure that everybody knows where to go once you're outside of the house. And once you're outside the house, please, for no reason, do not go back in the house. You know, the fire department's on the way as quick as they can get there. So just make sure you have that place that you can go that you feel safe outside.
And that's something we go over every time we do a drill or an educational event at schools with young children. Is they're going to want to take those really precious items. They're going to want to take their favorite stuffy. They're going to want to take their favorite toy. They're going to want to take their pets. And we need to make sure that not just the children, but the adults, you get out, you stay out. There's no reason to run back into the home once you're outside. These fires today, they grow way too fast. If you were to go back in the home, there's a good chance you may not be coming back out.
So one other thing, topic to cover, what about battery replacement?
That's a great point. Battery replacement, most smoke alarms, they take either AA batteries or 9 volts. But now we're moving towards a sealed unit 10-year batteries. So most smoke alarms that are bought and sold today, they come with a 10-year sealed battery inside them. This keeps you from having to change those batteries. This is definitely the recommended way to go. If you do have a smoke alarm that has a removable battery, it's a good idea that especially while you're doing these tests, whether it's during one of your fire drills or it's when you change the clocks, making sure that you replace those batteries at least once a year. And the reason we say replace it once a year is it ensures that the batteries stay fresh and make sure that they can activate. And not just along with the activation, but the smoke alarm needs to have enough battery power in it to sustain the alarm sounding for the entire time that you're evacuating your home. That prolonged activation is what gives people who either initially are heavy sleepers or they don't wake up really quickly, it lets them know that this is not a passing thing, it's not a drill. It lets them know they need to get out of the home quickly. So having a fully charged battery in there at least once a year will make sure that alarm activates and lets you get out of the home.
I'll tell you another thing, Chris, that we hear from a lot of our residents. Well, my battery, my smoke alarm, it's chirping. When you hear that chirp, are we supposed to replace our batteries immediately, or does that mean the alarm's going off? Why do we have to worry about it when our battery's chirping?
That's a great question. We get this question all the time from the public. Anytime you hear that really short chirp, that's a built-in feature of most smoke alarms that tells you that something is going wrong. Most of the time, that's going to be that the battery is dying or the battery doesn't have enough power in it to ensure that it's going to go off like it should. It also can mean that there's a fault or a failure inside the smoke alarm. So we recommend if your smoke alarm does chirp, to just take that smoke alarm down and get it replaced as soon as you can. I was wondering if you could give me some advice as far as the lifespan on these alarms, because I know it used to be they were 5 years, they're 7 years, some are 10 years. And also some of the alarms that I've found, they don't even have a posted manufacturer's date. So can you give me some guidance on that?
Sure. Mainly, you definitely want to go by the manufacturer's recommendations on the smoke alarms, which should be no more than 10 years. All your alarms, whether they're hardwired or their battery, should definitely be replaced every 10 years. Even though you go and you may buy a brand new one at the store, when you open it out of that package, look at the back of it and see what the manufacturer date is. Just because you bought it in January of 2023, it may have been sitting somewhere waiting to be shipped and sold, so it could already be a couple of years old. So if there is no date, I would definitely go ahead and replace that alarm, because more than likely, with it not having a date on it anywhere, it's probably already out of date to begin with.
And I think you're absolutely right. I did a little digging on that, and it was more than 10 years ago that it became a federal guideline to put the manufacture dates on them. So if you do come across one that doesn't have a date listed anywhere, it's definitely time to replace it, because you can guarantee that it's over 10 years old.
Yeah, 100%. And just because you go and you buy and or replace your alarms that you have now, even if it is a 10-year alarm, if it starts to chirp, let's go ahead and get it replaced. We want to make sure you have a good, active, working alarm.
With this, when we're talking about replacing alarms, we're talking about when they need to be replaced. This is a great opportunity for me to say, if you live in the Boiling Springs Fire District area, we have an excellent smoke alarm installation program. We partner with American Red Cross. We partner with some other distributors. What we do is we offer 10-year sealed battery smoke alarms installed free of charge to everybody in our fire district. With that, we'll install carbon monoxide alarms. We always pair these carbon monoxide and smoke alarm installations with what we call a home safety visit. So we'll go over things, not just smoke alarms, not just COs, but we'll also cover things like tripping hazards, slipping hazards, recommendations for grab bars and showers and bathrooms. And we'll cover all of these things just so you can try and stay as safe in your home as you can.
Like Chris said, this is a home safety visit. This is not a home safety inspection. We're not coming to write you tickets. What we're doing is we're coming to make sure you and your family are safe. At the end of the day, our ultimate goal in our line of work is to make sure everybody is safe.
And so just to recap everything we've covered today, we're going to go right back through everything real quick. We covered the alarm types and the applications. We covered ionization versus photoelectric and how photoelectric is great for those smoldering fires. Ionization is better for the fast flaming fires we see with modern construction materials. We also covered the options that you have in case you're deaf or you're hard of hearing. Getting one of these bed shakers is an excellent way to stay safe. Other things we covered, Chris, can you review the placement?
Yeah, we covered some placement, talking about the ceiling versus the wall, making sure, 4 inches of the wall, no more than 12 inches off the ceiling, making sure that they're high enough to where the smoke hits them. We also covered like every floor, where they should be. You should have at least one on every floor. And then definitely inside of our sleeping rooms, that's definitely need to have one inside of each one. And also remember our slogan of close before you doze. That's a great slogan and could help keep you safe and buy you a little time.
Absolutely, Chris. We talked about not putting them in the kitchen just to reduce those nuisance alarms, testing them every single month, and pairing some of those tests at least twice a year with an escape drill, making sure that you guys have a meeting place outside of your home. And then we reviewed how to replace and when to replace those batteries. We talked about the lifespan of the alarms, how most of them are 10 years these days. And then we also reviewed some of the services that we offer. I wanted to give a really special thank you to Lieutenant Chris Huff for joining me today.
Chris, I really appreciate it. If y'all need anything, give us a call. That's what we're here for. Make sure you're safe, and we offer a lot of programs, so just give us a call anytime you need something.
Absolutely. If I can have one thing that I ask all our listeners to do today, it's just to go home, check those smoke alarms. Just press that button, give it a test. If it doesn't work, it might be time to replace the alarm. If it's older than 10 years, it's definitely time to replace that alarm. So either go pick one up and install it yourself, or call your local fire department and see if they have a smoke alarm program. With that, thank you. This podcast was made possible by the Boiling Springs Fire District in Greenville, South Carolina. Stay safe out there.
And #have a fire safe day.